Welcome to the Envision Rise podcast. Before we start this episode, we do have a disclaimer from our guest, and I will let her explain that. Porvi Parkey.
Thanks, Stacey. I appreciate it. Just want to let you guys know that anything we talk about today is only for informational purposes and does not create an attorney-client privilege between you or I. If you want to do that, give me a call. But this is only for information and not legal advice.
Welcome to the Envision Rise podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Hegarty, COO of Envision Rise. Joining us today is Porvi Parkey, who is a business attorney located in Denver, Colorado. Porvi, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Stacey. I'm super excited to be here.
And I am very excited to be your first podcast. I have a feeling this is going to be one of many.
I hope so.
So why don't you tell our listeners a bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a business attorney based out of Denver, Colorado. I help small to medium-sized businesses with their transactional needs. So really, it's about helping businesses with their contracts, their governance issues, commercial leases. Really, it's a full-service business side attorney.
Now, how did you get into this aspect of law? I'm always curious about why people choose the specialty that they do.
Sure. So in my previous lifetime, I was actually in-house counsel with Sallie Mae. A lot of folks know them as the student loan provider, send a monthly check to them. And I did a lot of finance and securities work with them. And I loved the job. I thought it was fantastic. But by the end of it, I felt like I was just helping out the big guy, you know, which is great. It's great to help companies make lots of business. But I really felt like I wanted to start helping my peers and actually helping small business owners with what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I love being able to walk around, drive around my town and actually see the businesses that I've helped. And so that's what I decided to do. And so I started shifting my finance and contract knowledge over into small businesses. And here we are today.
Well, and it's such an interesting choice to make because what we're seeing now statistically is that a lot of young people are choosing entrepreneurship. They are choosing small business. They are choosing to make choices that are outside of traditional corporate America. And that's especially true for women and women of color. And you and I were talking and you quoted something to me that took me by surprise. And that was somewhere around 95%, I think, of your clients are women.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's not something that, you know, I'm going out to market for. Those are the clients that are coming through my door and I love it. I love being able to help, again, my peer set. It's women business owners. I'm running my own business as well. My firm is my own small business. And so I absolutely get all of the challenges that happen with running your own business. And I really enjoy being able to help these women entrepreneurs come through and see success.
Becoming an entrepreneur is such a big risk, and that risk can increase dramatically depending on the industry that you go into. Let's talk a bit about what, if we've got listeners who are thinking, you know what, I'd like to strike out on my own, or maybe someone who's been on their own for a while and is running into challenges. What do you see first off as some of the challenges that people run into when they're first starting their own business?
Sure. When they're first starting their business, business owners don't know where to begin. Quite frankly, they're like, what do I do? I have this passion that I want to explore. I want to start a new business. I know I'm biased, but I'd say start with your attorney. Attorneys are going to help you figure out how to protect your business. The biggest thing you want to do at the outset is figure out what kind of corporate entity you want to go to. Most folks have heard of corporations and limited liability companies. That's something that you're going to want to do. And so you want to make sure that you have advice on how that's going to protect your business and what the right business entity is for your particular business. Some folks need a limited liability company. Some folks need a corporation. It's also worth noting that we've got new regulations coming into place for small business owners in particular. So just starting in January of this year in 2024, the Corporate Transparency Act went into place. That's requiring all business owners of a certain size, mostly small to mid-sized businesses, to register with the federal government and actually let them know who the actual owners are of the company. This is a whole thing that's about preventing fraud within small businesses, but it's something that an attorney is going to help you figure out and also figure out how to comply with these new regulations because the fines attached with that are pretty severe. So we talk about corporate structure. We talk about, you know, your policies and your contracts that you need. Everyone needs a service agreement of some sort, particularly if you're in a service industry. But if you're selling products, you need some form of contract that says, here's what I'm selling you and here's what you're not, what you are getting and what you aren't getting. So I'd say your contracts, you need policies. If you have employees, you need to have your policies in place. You know, what's your paid leave policy? What's your vacation policy? Simple things like that. But they're there to protect you. A lot of my clients start to have vendor contracts with third parties or even their landlords if they're renting actual like brick and mortar locations. And here's where I see a lot of issues is that particularly small business owners, they feel like if they get a contract from another party, that they have to sign it just as it is. And that's absolutely not the case. Every contract is negotiable, or at least you need to try. And that's where your attorney can actually step in and say, hey, you know, my attorney thinks we need to change X, Y, and Z. I don't know why, but here's what we need to change. And I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, you're going to get some of those changes. Mm-hmm. A lot of landlords, a lot of third-party vendors don't expect that negotiation, but they will negotiate with you if you try. And that's my job. My job is to help counsel my clients on saying, hey, you can do this.
And I think that's such an important piece because what I see happen a lot, especially with young women business owners who are new, they're just so excited about whatever product or service that they're offering. And maybe they've been working informally, sort of as a side hustle. And all of a sudden, this is going to turn into their business, their job, not their hobby, not their side hustle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a hard shift to make in your mind to go from, I love doing this thing, whether it's, you know, whether it's practicing law or if it's a dance studio or whatever. And now there are all of these things that I have to do that make me feel really uncomfortable mm-hmm. because I'm just doing what I love. I'm following my passion. Mm-hmm. What guidance do you have for young women in particular who are starting this journey into business ownership from either corporate America or starting to grow their side hustle into their full-time job?
So I would say, first and foremost, don't be afraid. Or if you're going to be afraid, don't let it stop you. I have had a lot of clients feel like they can't do something because it's a fear of the unknown. And so really, it's just taking it one step at a time and saying, let's look at the documents. Let's look at the contracts that you've been presented with. For example, unfortunately, I have a client who, you know, entered into a business line without an attorney and has actually accrued a significant amount of debt. And had I been there from the beginning, we could have at least walked through the contracts that she was signing onto in this business line, and she could have understood exactly what she was signing up to and actually made a much better financial decision for herself. But she was afraid to hire an attorney. She thought it wasn't worth it. She thought, you know, that she could trust the other side's attorney. And that's mm-hmm. the other thing I want to say is like, don't go into your business with innocence. It's a business. It's a business relationship. The other side always is going to protect their own interests, and you need to do the same for your interest. And I think clients, women and men, I don't want it to seem like I'm just saying for women, this is a women and men. It's across the board. Folks just actually want to go in with a sense of, I trust the other side. Everybody's in it for the same reason. And that's not true. And your attorney is there to help protect your interest in that.
I think that's such an important point that there's this feeling of optimism oftentimes, especially when you're excited about getting your business off the ground and you've got big dreams and big goals and lots of positivity going into it. And it can definitely feel like, well, if I get attorneys involved in this, this is going to take away the sparkle. This is going to take away something that this is going to turn what I'm trying to do, relationship building, into something combative or something full of conflict. And what would you say to folks that are feeling like, yeah, but if I get lawyers involved, then doesn't that say that I don't trust you and we're turning this into a more negative experience for both parties? What advice would you have?
So you get your attorneys involved before there's a problem. Let us do the background work. Let us get your contract ready so that it's protecting you without anyone else looking at it, and that we've hit all of your business points and saying, here are the things that you want to be protected with. Here's what you want to charge. If things go sideways, here's the amount of liability you're willing to take on. Let us help you with the front end. So that way, once you get to your clients, it's a piece of paper you're sending over to them, and I'm not involved with that. I don't want to be involved with that, you know, unless there's a question. And so if the other side wants it, has a good attorney, if they know their business, they're going to try to negotiate with you. I'll be on the background. You know, you don't have to say my name in every room. You come to me with a question and you can take my words and say, here's how I think we should handle the issue. But you're protected. My job is to help protect your business, not the other person's business, but your business.
And I think that's a critical piece too, is really understanding that no matter what your product or service, that you want to protect it. You want it to grow and thrive, obviously, but that does require some legal stuff that people aren't always comfortable with.
That's right. Now, there's a little bit of legwork that you can do on the front end of your business to really help protect it in the long run. And it's something that I wish more business owners actually understood and did.
I want to talk about the employee part. You mentioned getting policies together. And the other thing that I see happen, and I've seen it happen in my own life when I used to own restaurants, is you first sort of end up hiring people you know sometimes, especially if it's just you and maybe one or two other people. And you don't really think that you need an employee handbook because I've known these people forever and they're not going to do anything to me. Nothing bad's going to happen. And before you know it, you're down the road and you don't have an employee handbook and you've got nothing to refer back to when something inevitably happens. Not that there's anything, you know, suspicious about something. Stuff just happens. People get sick. People get hurt. Relationships end and change. So for folks that are debating whether or not to spend the time and energy on putting together even a very basic employee handbook with policies and procedures, what advice do you have?
Policies, policies, policies. Put that handbook in place. It comes down to, what if you have, you know, life happens, just as you're saying, life happens, and it doesn't have to be a negative experience. You could have an executive that's leaving for their own personal reasons, and you should have a policy in place as to how you're going to pay them out. How are you going to handle their offboarding? You know, like, what confidential information do you need to have back? And it's really, what confidential information? That's all in your handbook. And that's going to protect you time and time and again. It's the way that you tell your employees what to expect in all sorts of situations. It can be something simple as, or complex, depending on your perspective, as, do you have an open carry policy in place? There are some situations where, you know, some states allow open carry, or they allow you to bring your arms into a private building unless you say no. And if you don't have that policy in place, then the assumption is that, yes, you want that, which is fine if that's how your business operates. But you need to let your employees know what that means and what the expectations are.
What about things like paid time off? And I know, you know, for small businesses, that can actually be a pretty great financial burden, offering vacation and requirements of sick time, of course, but then expanding that out into parental leave or, you know, companies that may have someone go out on disability. So what about those kinds of things? What do you recommend that small businesses really pay attention to when they're looking at paid time off?
Yeah, excellent question. And very timely as far as Colorado is concerned. You know, just let's take one big, huge step back. There are only 7 countries in the world that don't offer paid maternity leave. And we are one of them. The United States just does not offer that at the federal level, which is a disgrace in my mind. And it's something that should really be addressed. I am excited to see that states are starting to address this, in particular here in Colorado. There's 2 actually really important legislative pieces that went into place in the last 2 years. The first one is going to be the paid sick leave policy, which essentially just says that Colorado employees are entitled to accrue up to 48 hours of paid sick leave in any calendar year. And so employers must provide that. It's burdensome. It absolutely is. As a business owner, I've seen it, you know, cause a lot of concern about how they're going to pay for it. But it's something that has to be built into your budgeting and into your business plan, because it's required by state law, I should say. It's required by Colorado law to have that paid sick leave in place now. The other policy that's come into effect is, as of January 1st, 2024, employees are now entitled to a family and medical leave payout. not really a payout. What is required is that employers and employees contribute their premiums into the Family Medical Leave Insurance Program in Colorado. And that allows them to then take paid leave in order to take care of their family members or if they're going out on maternity leave. So it's exciting to see that Colorado is taking steps along these lines. It's one of the first states to do that. And there are many other states that are now looking at Colorado and actually saying, hey, we need to start putting new policies into place and actually start taking that lead as well.
So I'm hearing all of this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how would a small business owner even know that these things are happening? And I can see how very easily you could make a misstep because you didn't know. How often do you recommend that business owners have policy reviews done?
At least annually. I think it's definitely important because every year there's a new policy in place. Here in Colorado, it's just been lockstep. You know, every year we've had a new policy come into place, and it's really important to have an internal review of those policies and also reaching out to your attorney, to your HR consultants to say, hey, what do I need to know? What's happening? Because as a business owner, you want to run your passion. You don't want to be caught up in all of these other laws and policies and changes that are happening. And that's why you hire out the experts for that.
Now, you mentioned HR. So of course, I've got to go down that road just a little bit. I won't go too far because it does attach to policies a little bit. When should people start thinking about formalizing their review process, formalizing training, formalizing all those things that when you've got one employee, two employees, it doesn't feel like that's necessary because I see these people every day. You know, we're constantly doing informal performance evaluations. But when should people really start thinking about formalizing that process to ensure that people are getting equitable treatment in their annual review?
Yeah. Ideally, it's before you hire your first person. That's my recommendation, is that you should have these policies up front before you start hiring. So that way, when you start hiring, that first person knows what to expect. The first person is no different than the 10th person that you hire. So the first person needs to know what to expect when they start working for your company. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think those policies should be in place. That's part of your business plan. It's part of, you know, getting your company set up is getting those policies in place. Yeah.
Whether or not you use them is a different thing.
Right. I mean, you know, it's definitely right. So, I mean, if you know you're going to be a solo for the long haul and that's just, it's just you, yourself and you doing your business. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. For sure, you don't need to have an HR policy in place unless you feel like you need to complain to your boss about it. And that's between you and yourself as to how you're going to handle that. But as soon as, before you hire that first person, be it an independent contractor or an actual W-2 employee, you need to start having your policies in place.
For us at Envision Rise, we often talk about how policies can help craft your culture. And that whatever your policies are, whatever you decide is right for your business outside of what's required by law, obviously, is going to contribute in some way, shape, or form to the experience your employees are having at your organization, regardless of size.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Purvi Parkey, it has been just a pleasure to talk to you. I've gotten so much insight already. Where can folks, especially in Colorado, reach you?
Sure. You can reach me on all sorts of social media platforms. I'm there. I'm everywhere. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn and you can find me on Facebook. You can also find me at my website. It's purvyparkey.com. Super easy. And I do offer free initial consultations to anyone who's thinking about hiring an attorney, doesn't know if they need one. It's a free 30-minute call. Let's talk. Let's see if I can help you, how I can help you. And if I can't, if I'm not the right person, I'm absolutely going to recommend who is the right person for you.
Well, Purvi, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation. And for our listeners, if you'd like more information on Envision Rise, you can find us at envisionrise.com.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and be a part of making a difference because it starts with you.